Hello, hello. We're back again and we're talking about Melchizedek. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And we'll begin there. It says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." This is a really big deal. So what we find is that there are two different groups that had some level of authority over Israel. The first group was the priesthood. Now, the priesthood was a hereditary job passed down through families, through the generations. God, when he met with the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they had, within a month, they had turned to idolatry with the golden calf. Only the Levites stood with Moses. And because of that, a curse from clear back from their father Jacob was lifted, and they were granted not land, but they were granted to be the servants of the Lord. They were granted to be the tribe that would serve in the temple, or that would serve all of the religious needs of Israel. So that tribe passed it down generation after generation. We read a little bit of that in Hebrews. You can read about it some more, that these men who died had to be replaced over and over again. Okay? But it was a hereditary title that got passed down. The other group originally were judges, but the judges were not passed down through families. They were called one at a time, or they were called of God instead of passing down through families. Now, Samuel was the last of those judges, and as he was getting old, then he decided he was going to set his sons in place, but his sons didn't follow his ways, and neither did God call them. Neither did God call them. And then they turned to evil, which was terrible. And the people then decided to go and ask for a king. Now, what had been going on in Israel? There wasn't a direct king, a person that they felt like they could talk to. And yet, God was the one in direct control over Israel through the judges and through the Urim Thummim. And it said that the people would go and they would consult with God at the tabernacle to find out what they should do. And they decided they had enough of that. They decided they had enough of that. They wanted the security of a flesh and blood human being sitting on the throne to take care of them. And so they went to Samuel and said, "Give us a king." All right? Moses was a prophet, and Moses is another example of a title and authority that is not passed down. It's interesting that the sons of Moses did not take up Moses's position when he died, when he was called away. It was passed down by God's election to Joshua. So we have prophet and priest and king that we're looking at. And the prophet is called. A priest passes down through families, and kingship also passes down through families. All right. Continue on with verses 6 through 9. It says, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say to thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. But they have that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." And so here it was that they desired to have a king. They had this big fantasy that the king would take care of them and so on, and yet God tells Samuel, warn them what's going to happen. He's going to have taxes, and he's going to take your children to be servants and to be soldiers, and you will have less freedom than you do now. They had a whole government system that they would have to support if they had a king. But they didn't want to listen to that, and so they told him, nope, we want a king anyway. And so God sent them Saul. Now, Saul was tall, and he was good-looking, and he was the kind of guy that the people had fantasized about having for a king. He'll be able to go before us in battle and do all these things. Side note, it was all well and good until Goliath showed up, just saying. So, the people rejected God as the king. It was a coup of the heart that they overthrow God as their king, but it was in their hearts that they rejected him. Okay? I think that that is a really important thing. Because in Acts 13:22, we find, what was God looking for? There had to be a king in Israel to set a precedent for the coming king, Jesus. But let's turn to Acts chapter 32 for just a second to understand. First, God gave them Saul to show them how terrible kings could be. And then he gave them David. Because then God wanted to show them something else. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Which says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And that's a really important thing. That is the key requirement that God was going to have in this this system. If they were going to have a king, they were not going to have the king that was tall and that was the best looking. But they needed a king who would go before them in battle and not allow the enemy to insult their God, who would swing a rock to kill Goliath. That was the kind of king that they were going to need. They were going to need a king who was chasing after God's own heart. Okay? And we find that Jesus himself was that king. Why was Jesus that king? Because we can see it from the example in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus, as he's preparing to be led away captive, that he went to pray and he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup be taken from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The criteria that God used to select David as king was the same criteria that God used to select Jesus as king. Jesus, too, was rejected. In Psalm 18:22, it says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the corner. Actually, let me take a second and actually read that to you so I get it worded exactly right. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. So in other words, the ruler that the people wouldn't want was the one that God picked. It was interesting that even Samuel bought into the hype of Saul. Samuel thought Saul was great, and he mourned over the loss of Saul as king. And even when God sent Samuel down to anoint the son of Jesse to be king, when the first boy walked in, he says, oh my goodness, this guy's so tall and good looking, that has to be a king. And God said, no, I'm looking at the heart. I have a different set of criteria. I want a man after my own heart. And so when God picked David, he used the same criteria to pick Jesus. Now we know that God was the ruler over Israel in the book of Judges. How could that be? Because God had been ruling there for quite a while, actually. We met him earlier in the story by name of Melchizedek. We find that in Genesis that he wasn't simply the priest of the Most High. He was also the king of Salem, the king of peace. And Jerusalem is the city of peace, established in that same place. So God as king of Salem, as Melchizedek, established a throne that is older than the throne of David. Jesus, by virtue of having been the descendant of the tribe of Judah, that he came from the tribe of Judah, was king over Israel. But there's an older throne that has a higher precedent and more importance, and that is the throne of Salem, which was ruled by Melchizedek. Jesus, being the Son of God, makes him heir to the throne of Melchizedek. We know that David was king over Israel, but Melchizedek was not only for Israel, but to the entire world, that anyone could come to him. Here it was that Abraham himself was not a son of Israel. In fact, he was the patriarch. There was no such thing as Israelites. There was no such thing as Jews when Abraham was there. But it was his faith that brought him to Melchizedek. So Melchizedek, king of Salem, is the older throne, the higher precedent, the Melchizedek priest to the world and king of the world. And so Jesus is double heir. He is king in Israel, and he's also king of Salem, a double heir to the throne. God bless you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.